I believe that God has marching orders for your life. In other words, God already has ordered the steps you should take. All you have to do is put your feet down in the right place. And I'm going to tell you my life story, a little bit how I did it, and how you can do it too on the next More Faith, More Life podcast.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm Steve Gray. My wife, Kathy's here with me. We enjoy visiting with you, teaching you, referring to the books that we have. If you go to stevegrayministries.com, there's books, there's supplies, many things you can get that a lot of it you'll not hear anyplace. Kathy, I don't know if I should say anyplace else, because there's people saying things I don't know.
Of course, yes.
But most places what I hear are kind of repeating the same thing over and over, and it's sort of a self-centered feel. We're trying to make you feel better about yourself, where I'm trying to get it where you get the power of God that changes yourself.
That's right.
And that's been my life,
yes.
My life and my walk. And you've been working on a project. I've seen you go up to your office and you work on a project.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to turn it into a book or a project or some kind of
yeah.
thing. And so I know you've been working on that. Tell
mm-hmm.
me what you've been working on.
Well, I feel like at the stage of life you are right now, you've impacted so many people. You've preached all over the world. You've brought the spirit of revival and the understanding of it to nations and churches everywhere. And it's been you have a legacy. And I want to begin to share your legacy of walking in the Word of God and having your life ordered by the Word of God. I want to share with other people, young people who are just starting with God, and they want to preach, they want to do, they want to be, but how did you start? And how did you learn to cooperate with the Lord? And then just, I want to go through your life a little bit.
Okay.
Is that okay?
And yeah,
some
and
of
I think
podcasts.
God, I think God put in us legacy.
Yeah. Right.
Because he, you know, you read that, start with the Old Testament early days, and it
yeah.
was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
And then you can keep going on and on.
That's right.
And where it says even Jesus comes from the line of David.
That's
and you can
right.
read that. What is it when you open the Bible in Matthew and then you open in Luke and they show their genealogy,
yes.
different ones,
yeah.
different directions. Yeah. So it's important to God that we
it
leave
is.
A legacy behind.
Yes,
okay, so
important.
What would you like
so,
to know?
So you've left behind a legacy of faith in the Word of God, actually. And I just like to think of our very early days when we were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and that journey and me having the blessing to watch you grow and learn how to do all this in God. And I was thinking right now, maybe you could share the story with the people of one of your favorite psalms that God had brought you and how it became life. What you did with that psalm, then I'm going to back up a little. Really early days.
Okay, well, and this is pretty early.
This is early.
You want to start with that?
I'd just like where to start. I like to start with Psalm 37,
okay.
23, because it
and we'll back
actually
up a
describes
and go forward.
Our whole life together.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I found the scripture. I was fairly new. I just I would read and take something in that, like, oh, okay. So I found a scripture that I really liked as a beginner and starting out, just been a Christian 2 years, maybe at the most. And yeah. I found a scripture that says, the steps of a man, and this was King James, mm-hmm. the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord.
Yes.
And then it talks about if he falls or stumbles, God's going to uphold him. But that's right. I took it and I took that word and I really, really liked that word, are ordered by
yes.
the Lord. Now, other versions have softened that a little bit and right. took out the order part and just said, they're mm-hmm. like NIV says, those steps, God makes your steps firm. That's good too. So you won't fall, or if you fall, he'll pick you up. That's good. But firm steps to me were not as powerful at my life, in my life at that time, as ordered. So that means yes. God's not cracking a whip ordering me, but he set that. He set an order.
Yes.
Instead of ordering, like giving an order, he's got an order. God has an orderly kingdom. Mm-hmm. He's God. Jesus is the Savior. The angels are below, all that. An orderly kingdom.
Right.
And so where Paul wrote that, now we need decency and order in our lives, yes. in our churches.
Yeah.
So my steps are already set in motion. I just got to put my feet down where they go.
Yeah.
And so that's how I started. And then as you right. referred to, that's the very first song I wrote. I took that scripture.
Yes.
Now that song was way beyond its time. Everybody
yes,
else was sing-songy. And I wrote, because I had music degrees and stuff, really different. And I still enjoy that rhythm that I did with it, but it was before its time. And it, you know, I never was a big hit. I had some songs that were big hits, but that wasn't it. But
well,
for
it's
me,
because it was convicting.
That's true. But
yeah.
So anyway, so I wrote a song, "The Steps right. of a Man Are Ordered by the Lord. Though
yes.
he fall, he will not be cast headlong."
That's right.
And the Lord, so that began a lifelong, because that's been many right. years ago now.
Yes.
But the orders were set then
yes.
in my heart.
Right.
I just need to follow the order.
Yes.
That's all. Just follow the orders, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be powerful. Mm-hmm. And you remember, not knowing anybody or anything, that had already started. We
yes.
had people that were in the ministry that had what we sometimes call a prophetic or very preaching understanding of it. Didn't even know anything about me, would come up and say, "You are going to touch nations."
Yeah.
That's a big statement for one who just now is getting his orders.
That's right.
just
That's
now,
right.
I didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
But
careful. You've been careful yeah, to follow.
I knew just to follow orders.
Yes.
The order of my, and these people right. listening, you got steps. And I like the word ordered, that God said it. He's ordered them already, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So, you
got to learn how to hear his orders, and the only way you can learn to hear his orders, you've got to know his word.
Yeah,
because
you know,
he's never going to contradict his word in what he tells you to do next.
You know, you have an Amazon account, which is very convenient. Even I like going on there occasionally.
It's too convenient at times.
And sometimes you can get it the next day.
Well, when you're buying
but if
toys.
You go to, yeah, for grandkids.
Yeah, for
if
grandkids.
You go there and
yeah.
you see it,
mm-hmm.
then what do? You process it, and it said your order is complete,
yeah, complete.
Or something like that. I did that
you
yesterday.
You click something, you go to the
now that
your
means
cart,
what?
And there's
been,
the cart
you,
in order.
It's been ordered.
Right.
And now it's on its way.
Yeah.
So
oh,
when
yeah.
your steps are ordered, God ordered the steps mm-hmm. for you, and these steps are on their way.
Yeah.
You just got to put your feet down where they belong.
Right.
And keep going
yeah.
where
keep
they
going.
Belong.
Well, you know, I want to back up then to, mm-hmm. because that song, when you wrote it, was like you said, about 2 years after we were filled with the Holy Spirit and called, and we were going into the ministry by then.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very beginning of our married life, and when you were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up and you said, "I've been called to preach," then the ordering began right that very second. And I remember we lived in a very small town, Don, Missouri, 124 people, but God was moving and teaching us, and there was the rest of our family in Sedalia, Missouri, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and a whole group of talented family musicians. And we were seeking God, and then one day when you were praying, the Lord showed you something, and
yeah.
it was the beginning of the orders.
Yeah.
Of the orders.
Yeah, so we were in that little town,
yeah.
but there were lots of little towns, and they all congregated, and they all built one school.
Right.
So it was a 2A school. I mean, it was a
yeah.
pretty nice school, nice building. And I was a music teacher, fantastic building they built, brand new, and
yeah.
I was we had a great thing going.
Yes, you did.
But I started getting that stirring, and it's amazing. I said, I was, as even you say it, to have somebody saved, filled with the Spirit, I'll just go ahead and say, I began to sing in tongues and speak in tongues. Yeah. But the first word in English, my language, was, I've been called to preach. Bang, bang, bang. How does that happen?
How does that happen?
But it happened. So we go back as teachers, because we had contracts, but the stirring of God, I've been called to preach, was stirring. And we were in our living room, at that cute little house we rented, and I had my Bible open, thumbing through it, and I was praying, and you were over here, and you were praying, you know, learning how to pray. And suddenly, it was like I saw a neon sign, it's the best I can describe it, like in the air, you know, eyes open or eyes closed, I could just, there. And it said, 2 Kings and a 6, okay? And I kept seeing it and seeing it.
Yes.
I didn't know what to do with it, so
And that was supernatural, like, you were seeing it in the spirit realm, yet with the eyes of your heart.
Yeah, it just was there.
2 Kings 6.
I didn't have to close my eyes, and I didn't have to open my eyes. It was just like, I see something, but I don't know how it happens. But anyway, I didn't know what to do with it. So I got on the telephone, and I called back to our hometown, where we knew some people that also had, you know, they were serving the Lord, filled with the Spirit, living the life. And I said, I need help. I said, I'm praying, and I keep seeing this 2 and a Kings and a 6, and I don't know, what does it mean? And I thought they might be able to interpret it or something, being so new, I didn't know. And they almost laughed. They said, what are you talking about? Don't you know there's a book in the Bible called 2 Kings, and there is a chapter, 2 Kings 6? So he said, what they suggested is go to 2 Kings 6 and see what it says.
Yeah.
All right. What they didn't know was what I had prayed before I saw that. You know now.
Yeah.
We were praying about, should we stay and teach another year, or should we start out our ministry? I've been called to preach ministry.
Right.
What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? And we're so young and raw in it. Like, we didn't know.
And, you know, we were pretty happy and beginning to feel content in a town of 124. But the Consolidated School District and all the people, and you were leading your kids to the, you know, to the Holy Spirit.
And meeting in homes with prayer meeting at night.
Yes, and we were beginning to touch this whole community, the farm community. We'd go to people's farms.
Yes.
And
so there wasn't any reason to get out.
Yeah.
But we just felt like, you know, what? I don't know what to think. And I'm not wise enough in my, so I was reading in the Bible and I see this like neon sign, 2 Kings 6.
Amazing.
And so I hung up the phone. I go to my Bible because I know what I've been saying. What should we do, Lord?
What should we do?
I opened it to 2 Kings 6 and looked down and read, see, the place where you're dwelling is too small for you. And he said, go. And that was 2 Kings 6, that whatever verse it was. And we took it. I don't know how that happened. It just happened.
Yeah.
It
instantly revealed something to you.
And that was it.
That was it.
That was it.
That was it.
And talking about faith and the word and putting your feet down and ordered. I said, we just got an order. We had nothing. When we left our jobs, and we taught the rest of the year, but we left and put all our stuff, which wasn't much, into a grain truck, came back to my hometown where my family was, threw our stuff in their garage, and went into one little tiny bedroom to seek God. To what does that go mean? We didn't have an income either. We had no jobs. We gave up the jobs that we went to college for to go now and have nothing. And
we were excited but scared. Well, I was scared.
Yeah, you nervously scared on it was natural on the level you were at. Me, I just was stepping it out, right? I was just putting my feet down. I don't know, but you know what? We're going to do this. I had no question of doing it. I just didn't know how.
And I was thankful you were stepping, and I was learning how to step where you had already stepped, honestly.
So that was the first turning point that got us moving.
Right.
And we still have we've been going ever since.
We've been going ever since. And then when we were in that little tiny bedroom, I will never forget that. Because, you know, we're going, well, okay, here we are, God. Now what? Now what's going on? And one morning we were still just laying there in bed like, well, what are we supposed to do today, God? And you said to me, Kathy.
Because I had been, and then I was kind of praying and trying to seek the Lord.
Yeah, you were praying And I just kind of woke up out of my sleep, and there he was praying, and I could feel the presence of the Lord stirring in the room. And then you said something to me that I didn't know that word, the meaning of the word, but you know what you said?
Yes, and you started crying.
And not out of joy. I mean, I was crying out of
so what happened?
Premature mourning. Well, you said to me, Kathy, you know, I've been reading Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2, and I am now committing myself to the Lord, presenting my being to the Lord as a living sacrifice. And you were just so sincere, and it meant so much to you. And I thought, he's presenting himself to God as a sacrifice. A sacrifice means you die. It's you're over with. You leave the earth. You know?
So she starts. Oh, you started crying.
Yeah,
you're like,
I
what
did.
Does this mean? You
what?
Shouldn't have said that. What?
We've only been married just a brief amount of time, and now he's doing this with God.
So out of my the best revelation I could get on that young age, I said, no. It's Kathy. It's a living sacrifice. I didn't know what that was exactly.
Yeah.
But I just said, remember. We, you know, it's a living sacrifice. And now we know, of course, I think the church plays only on the Jesus sacrifice,
right.
The dying sacrifice.
Yes.
I don't have, our folks, I probably don't need to go into the greatness of that.
Yes.
The dying sacrifice of Jesus.
Right, yes.
But he died as a sacrifice, and the sacrifices don't end. Some people say, you know, sacrifices end. They didn't end. You're next. But you get to be a living sacrifice. And so I tried to make that my next step. First was go, and then now I got to learn what it means to be a living sacrifice.
Right.
Acceptable to God, and I'll know, and it will transform my mind, and I'll know what the will of God is. That's that whole passage.
Yeah.
And so that's enough being said was what, and I didn't know anybody else at the time who was even considering that. It was. They certainly considered Jesus' dying sacrifice and all that he did for us.
Yeah.
But now our return to be a living sacrifice, and the Bible says that's our worship. That's our true worship.
Yes.
So I didn't know that then.
Yeah.
But actually, what I was doing by trying to be that.
Yes.
It was actually a form of worship,
yeah.
Which was more than just singing songs and raising your hands.
Yeah. But you know, then the next verse, Romans 12. Verse 2 says, so you want to be a living sacrifice. Here's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Be transformed.
Yeah.
How? By the renewing of your mind. And I've heard people ask you over the years, well, how do I get transformed? Well, the answer's right there.
Yeah.
By renewing your mind. And I think sometimes a lot of people and you know, students of the word, then they say, well, okay, well, God, renew my mind. This is just a special gift from you. Make my mind to think straight, and I'll just wait for you to do it.
Well, they make so many that do read the Bible, Bible students even,
yeah.
College, you know, seminary students, whatever.
Right.
They read the word and get inspired and knowledge,
oh.
Right?
Yes.
But they're not reading it like I read it.
Yeah.
And that is that I want this to transform me because they didn't understand. Most people don't understand. If you want to change the way you act, you have to change the way you think.
There
That's
you
what Paul is saying.
Right.
Change the way you think, knowing the word of God, and then you'll be transformed mm-hmm. and you'll know the will of God. So if people say, I don't know what God's will is,
yeah.
They need to go back and change the way they think. Get in the Word of God. Let it change the way you think, not just the way you act or be inspired. And I feel good. And God feel, oh, God, it feels so good to be near God. That's
yeah,
all great.
Yeah.
But you got to change the way you think. So that's
yes.
The second part that I wanted to know the will of God. And I knew I was going to have to change the way I think. So I went, I mean, I did a lot of changing in the way I thought.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's the difference between you and thousands of people and a lot of the people that came into that, the charismatic movement, when we did, so many people say, nobody's going to tell me what to think
yeah, right.
or how to think. And then their minds never become new.
Right.
And then because of that, they really are unable to become a living sacrifice and serve God and please him because they have a stubbornness. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. Nobody's going to tell me how to speak. But that, you know, that word transforming actually means the picture of metamorphosis where a caterpillar spends time in that cocoon And then it learns how to break its way out with its wings. And if you come along and you try to tear open the cocoon for a butterfly that you can tell is trying to come out, it kills the butterfly. And so you become metamorphosed by the word of God. You get wrapped up in that word. And then you become not a butterfly. That's really silly, but you become a transformed being. Now, I guess now you can fly.
Well, we have a cultural problem, though.
Yeah.
And you almost said it this way. I'll say it this way. We have a cultural problem, and it's a fear, too. Nobody is going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
It's a fear.
Yeah.
When, if I've had parents that didn't go to our church, and their kids get married, and they have a kid, and they start coming to our church, and they go back and tell them all the great things they're learning, and the parents panic. They go like, "What? Uh-oh. This pastor's, he's telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Nobody's supposed to tell you." And yet the whole word of God and God is ordered steps where he tells us what to do. Where do you want to go next we finish?
Well,
today?
I think that's about it. I think being able to take orders, being able to commit to listen if God says go, but you need to be really seeking before you hear that word, and then growing in the word where you present yourself, living sacrifice, and you're going to live it and do it, and you can do it because of the word of God has helped you know how to think. And I've watched you do that all these years and increasingly grow, and I think that's part of your legacy that I want to share.
And you talked about traveling the world and ministering all over the world, and one of my favorite things that we've done is we would do a pastor ministry conferences where, especially in the daytime, it opened to the crowds at night. But in the daytime, it was mostly all pastors or evangelists or worship leaders or whatever. Yeah. And sometimes there'd be 500 or 1,000, 500. I'm thinking in my head of a particular place. It's in my head right now. I can see it. Yeah. And there were about 500 pastors there. But then I would go to the night, and there would be more than pastors, just be folks, you know, from whatever country, like in San Diego or Singapore, wherever it was, where there'd be 1,000, 2,000 people would be there. Japan, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people. And watching them watch me, and it's not me, everybody, you can go into that. Well, it's not me, it's really the Lord. But they're not looking like, this is really the Lord. They believe that. But they're looking like, I want what you have.
Exactly.
How did you get to here?
Yes.
To where God moves so powerfully, so quickly, in so many places, so rapidly that you can come in and do so much in a short amount of time, in just an evening or a couple of days. Yeah. And yet they're looking at it, trying to figure it out, but they're not thinking that they need to change their thinking.
Right.
They're inspired. They're, okay, look at me. Okay, I'm getting to do this. But if you would change your thinking, you'll be transformed too.
Yes.
Maybe not exactly like me in a different level. Right. So for me up there, I mean, you can see it in their faces. I want what you have. I want the Spirit of God on the level that you have. I want to experience it. I want to know it. And that's why when I'd say, if you want what I have, if you want this, come now. And they'd running.
Right.
They would come running to the altars. You remember in Japan, we were on a big high stage in a big auditorium. So they actually had to come up the stairs. I mean, it was like 5 feet high, probably feet high. And we're on it. So we're ministering. And when I said, and I'm thinking they're going to come to the front and I'm going to come down where they are and pray for people. And I said that, and we have an interpreter, of course, whatever they said in Japanese. And it got so powerful. You remember?
Yes.
Hundreds of pastors flocked and rushed and roared on the stage. Up they came, and they were just everywhere, and they flew everywhere, and they fell, and they yelled, and they praised, and they were changed. And that's the desperation, which is good. But that desperation, there's so much you can do. Is get your orders.
Yes.
Understand you got them already. They're already laid out for your life. Now you just got to choose them. Choose that life. Put your feet down in the position, and then you've got to think differently. Like sacrifice is a good word, but it's a living one.
Right.
And now I got to figure out what that means to me. How do I figure it out? Get in the Bible, read it, and let it change the way you think about things, not just inspire you or say, well, I believe in God.
Yeah.
And that will then transform you by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
then you know what the will of God is. And then you can become what inside you want to be.
Yes.
So that's the short version.
Right. And that's
of the
part
journey.
Of the legacy that I want. I feel God is telling me, share this with the people. So next week, we're going to go on into more areas of your life, growing in the Word of God.
And I think you're taking the journey, not just by episode of what happened in our life, but by scripture episode,
exactly.
Since we're bringing the Word. So you'll take, okay, here's the next scripture
exactly.
That impacted your life,
yes.
That changed you, and that you let that be your new orders.
Yes.
And so we'll talk about that when we had the scripture that said, the place where you're dwelling is too small for you. So we got to go be bigger for a while, right? And travel on a bus and travel, you know, that
right.
Ministry.
And we'll begin talking about all that.
And then God
next
sent
episode.
Us. Yes. And so then God sent us back to a small place. And
that's right.
What happened?
Okay, don't tell them now.
I'm going to tell them next, because I know the answer.
Well, you don't know if you're going to tell them
next episode or not. But we went back to another
small
place.
Yes.
And that, we had to figure out what is going on, and that was the next steps that were ordered by the Lord. Well, be sure and support us, like us, tell your friends about us. I hope that we are unique enough and transparent enough and being just ourselves. They tell us people just want real people. So we're being real with you and just sharing the adventures of our lives to help you find your destiny and walk in the steps of the Lord that he's ordered for you. Till next time. Bye-bye.